Scripture reading for this morning is the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible. I'm going to read the entire chapter, although my focus of attention, as Arthur mentioned, is going to be verse 17. Hear now this portion of God's written word, Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw those things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God bless what you have heard. You may be seated. What is the book of Revelation? There are many answers that could be given to this broad question. Those given by non-believers would be of little benefit except to reveal their soul-destroying unbelief. And it would not surprise me to hear true believers in Christ say it is one of, if not the most difficult book of the Bible to understand. Now, if you don't see it as a book of apocalyptic history, by apocalyptic history meaning it is a book of actual historical events, infallibly revealed in amazingly precise and powerful word pictures and metaphors, I would agree with you that the book of Revelation is a difficult book. But based on the verse that I have reached in the last chapter of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But based on this one verse, And there are only four more verses after this 17th verse before this book of the Bible and the entire, complete, authoritative, and sufficient, unique, and only written word of God, the Holy Bible, is finished with the truth all believers would want for themselves and all others. Verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. But based on verse 17 of Revelation 22, I would say before you today that the book of Revelation is not hard to understand. It's not hard to understand except by those, soberingly the many, who do not want to do what it repeatedly declares and commands needs to be done in order to have true peace with God, true world peace, and true personal soul peace. Something this one verse commands to be done by more than one person, even by many people. Something I hope that you both have done and do. For apart from the last amazing imperative found in the Bible, and where is the last amazing imperative found in the Bible? It's found in verse 20 of Revelation 22. The last imperative. Now, why do I call the last imperative of the Bible in verse 20 amazing? Because it's not addressed to believers. It's not addressed to believers, but it's by believers to the Lord, reflecting the renewed and regenerate heart of a true believer and his or her desire to see him as he is. He which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's an imperative. He's saying, Lord, come, I command you to come. That's the last imperative in the Bible. What an amazing imperative. To be commanding the Lord of glory to come. But it's reflecting that heart of the believer. They want to see him. You want to see him as he is. Come, Lord Jesus. Whereas in contrast to this amazing command directed to the Lord Jesus Christ by his believing people, the repeated command of verse 17 is directed to all men through different, even many different people, as I will show. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, lest I've already lost you, I must be sure you understand what I am talking about, even as I am well aware that studying and understanding grammar is not one of the things that dying people have on their bucket list of things to do before they die. Which may be a reason for why so many in the world, even in the Western world, even in America, even in the churches in America, are not prepared to die. Now, I am not saying I'm an expert in grammar, keeping my these and thous straights without my editor and wife is not easy. But what is the imperative mood? What is the imperative mood? If you were to read an imperative sentence, what would you be reading? You would be reading something that the writer wants you to do, even is commanding you to do. If you were to tell a child, you can clean up your room when you feel like it, you would not be speaking in the imperative mood. But after a month of seeing and smelling that he or she has not felt like cleaning up his or her room, you went in and say, clean up your room now. You have just spoken in the imperative mood. And here in verse 17 of Revelation 22, And only four verses after verse 17, the Bible is finished. You are given four imperatives. But since the first is spoken by two, the actual total is five imperatives. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Same command given by both the Spirit and the bride of Christ. And let him that heareth say, come. Same command. And let him that is athirst come. Same command. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Dare I say, the same command expressed in a different and gloriously soul-blessing way. Now, I began this message by asking you, what is the book of Revelation? A few more answers. It is the final book of the Bible. It is the last written word of God given to mankind before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But only true believers see this and believe this, which explains why the world is in the truly depraved mess it is in. Because no one can be truly blessed if they do not believe the Bible and do what it commands, especially the last commands found in the Bible addressed to all mankind by more than one person in verse 17. What is the book of Revelation? It is the last word of the risen, ascended, reigning, and returning Lord Jesus Christ to the churches. To the churches he purchased with his own once shed blood. What are the last things that your Lord and Savior wants you to know, believer? They're written in the book of Revelation. And what is chapter 22 of Revelation? It is the last chapter of this unique book or letter. And what is verse 17 of Revelation? It is the last verse in the Bible in which you are given a direct command from different persons and in different ways, telling you what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, wants, commands sinful, dying men to do, regardless of who they are. What is the final word of the Savior of the world to lost and dying sinners? Come to him in true repentance and faith. For what has the book of Revelation clearly and repeatedly shown you? Two things. First, that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over all human history, shown throughout the book of Revelation. But what does Jesus declare about himself in just one verse from Revelation that reveals to all willing to believe what he declares about himself? And the truth of this one verse is not changed if the entire world of dying men rejected it and scoffed at it. What verse am I referring to? Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. How many people died since you were last in this meeting house? You don't know. I don't know. How did they all die? You don't know. I don't know. But who turned? Who turned? Who turned that unique key of death? For everyone who died since we last met in this meeting house, however they died, who turned that key of death, friends? The Lord Jesus Christ. So no wonder the Bible ends with the repeated imperatives of verse 17 of Revelation 22. Because what is the second thing that the book of Revelation clearly shows you? That history, as we presently know it, is going to come to its glorious decreed end when all who have ever lived, all who are living, all who will yet live, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in final judgment. Revelation 20, verses 12 to 15, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, in light of this absolute certainty, how any sane person, and only true believers are truly sane, but how any sane person should be thanking the Lord for the repeated imperatives of verse 17. For the repeated imperatives of verse 17 of the last book, the last chapter of the Bible. For in light of this certain future reality, for all who have lived, are living, or will ever live, what do you read the Spirit of God commanding in verse 17? Come. What do you read the Bride of Christ commanding in verse 17? Come. What do you read those who have heard, I would say correctly, commanding, come? What is someone who is thirsty told to do? Come. What is someone who desires the water of life commanded to do? Take it freely. Yet how many talk about having received a revelation from God, but based on what they say, they have received, you can know they've been deceived by Satan, masquerading as an angel of light. Why? Not only because they have added or taken away from the book of Revelation as you are warned about in verses 18 and 19, but just as revealing, they are not doing what you and John have had revealed to you as to what the Spirit of God wants sinful man to do. Not just do, he is commanding sinful man to do it. And the Spirit says, come! Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of lost sinners. When a lost sinner, and we all come into this world as lost sinners, but when a lost sinner refuses to come to Jesus Christ for the salvation he alone can provide and does provide to any sinner truly seeking him for it, what is that lost sinner refusing to come doing? He or she is resisting the Spirit of God. He or she is resisting the Spirit of God. He or she is disobeying the final word from God, the Holy Spirit, the second person of the Holy Trinity of God, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did we read in Psalm 119 to open our worship? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. What's the last statutes from the Spirit of God and the Word of God? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why will the Holy Spirit be able to convict the world of sin? Because unbelievers have resisted him and not believed that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save them from their sins. What did Stephen say about those who would kill him? Even as he declared the truth to them. Acts 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Believer, you don't need signs and wonders to know what the Holy Spirit of God wants all men to do, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their social position, regardless of their gender, male or female. And the Spirit says, come, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, you don't need signs and wonders to know what the living, true, and only God wants all men, regardless of their ethnicity, social position, or gender, male or female, to do. He wants them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who says they know God but have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for that knowledge is a liar. And they do not know God, regardless of who they are. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. If you're hearing God, you're fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're confessing him. You're crying out to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Foolish unbelievers parade their sinful unbelief as a mark of intelligence, rather than the height of insanity and rebellion against God. Why? Because they are disobeying the Holy Spirit's command to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation found only in him. People can talk all they want about revelations from God, like the foolish and deceived people who think they should be listening to the demonic deceptions of Fatima or Lourdes. The Spirit says come, not to Rome's false Marys, not to Joseph Smith and his Book of Mormon, not to the false prophet Muhammad and his Quran, not to Mary Baker Eddy and her science and health with no key to the Scriptures, or who knows how many other false teachers and prophets. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, the wonder of the living God. He freely binds himself, if I dare put it that way, to his revealed directions to man regarding coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I referring to? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Does the living, true, and only God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit testify to the truth that all mankind should be coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. God the Father, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And what does his beloved Son say? Come unto me. God the Son, come unto me. God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit says, come. Not to some false teacher, not to some religious ritual, thinking that it saves, like who knows how many lost souls who have distorted the ordinance of baptism into a non-saving ritual. Water baptism saves no one. But being immersed in water, but being dipped in water, because that is what the Greek word baptizo means. Because what does the Greek Orthodox Church do, even as they misapply the ordinance of baptism to those unable to confess Christ Jesus as Lord? They immerse their unsuspecting babies three times. If that baby could walk, I'm sure it would run out of that building. Once, okay. Twice, all right. Three times, I'm out of here. This guy doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't. But biblical baptism, meaning believer's baptism, is the way the true believer can testify to having been saved by the Lord and having come to the Lord Jesus Christ for that salvation as the Spirit of God commands. And the Spirit says, come. Have you obeyed him? Have you obeyed him by his amazing regenerating grace and mercy? But not just the three glorious witnesses of the glorious Godhood of God. But notice second, and the bride say, come. And the bride says, come. Now, what bride are John and you being told that is saying come, is commanding to come? What bride is being referred to? Go back to Revelation 21, verse 9. And there come unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ says, Come. A glorious term referring to all the saved of the Lord, regardless of their ethnicity, social position, or gender, male or female. Now, because the Lord has not yet returned to receive unto himself his glorified and perfected bride, it is possible, even necessary, to refer to the bride of Christ, dare I say, as the bride militant and the bride triumphant. Now, you've probably heard of the bride of Christ referred to as the church militant and the church triumphant. The bride triumphant. The souls of those under the altar back in Revelation 6, waiting for those who make up the bride militant on earth. Verses 9 to 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood of them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. The bride militant holding forth the truth of the saving gospel of Christ that resulted in how many of the now bride triumphant sailing through bloody seas. But friends, you have a word. You have a command from both the bride triumphant and the bride militant. In this almost last verse of the Bible. And the bride says, Come. And the bride says, Come. Believer, you don't need supposed new revelation from heaven to know what every glorified saint would be telling everyone on the face of the earth if the Lord was to send them back. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith. Look to Jesus and Jesus alone for acceptance with God, because I see this truth in a far greater way than I ever did while I was walking on this fallen, devil-deceived earth, when I see him as he is. When I see him as he is. When I see him as he is, then will I know, not till then, how much I owe to him and to him alone. The absolutely last thing any of the bride triumphant would be telling anyone is come to Mary or come to the saints or listen to Muhammad or who knows how many other devil-deceived men and women. You are told that the message of the Lamb's bride is, believer, come. This would be the message of the bride triumphant, if any now enjoying the immediate presence of their Lord and Savior Jesus was sent back by God to this earth. But God doesn't need to do this. God doesn't need to do this. Why? Because he has the bride militant on the earth, contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And what is the one message from the bride militant? Christ knows that it has been given from the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Any church that is not unashamedly Christ-centered in its teaching and preaching and unashamedly declaring what he did, say about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, is not a church of Christ. It's a church of Antichrist. To to be afraid to unashamedly declare the truth that there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and he is the only way back into the holy presence of God. Any church, I don't care how big it is. I don't care how many people are sitting in the pews. I don't care who's behind the pulpit. I don't care if he's got a PhD and he's got letters that he could write, take 5 minutes filling out. If any man stands in a pulpit and denies that Jesus Christ is not the only way to God, they are antichrist. Because Christ has given us this imperative to his bride. We don't need the bride triumphant. That's what they would be saying. But he's told the bride militant what we are to be doing, telling the world to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. How many churches of Antichrist are in America today? How many? How many churches of Antichrist are in America today? Because they do not unashamedly call all men to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because outside of Christ, not outside the apostate false church of Rome, but outside of true saving faith in the biblical Christ, there is no salvation. Amen. And if you think I've overstated my case, you are not reading this final imperative-filled verse of Scripture correctly. Why? For after you are given command from both the Spirit and the bride of Christ to come to Christ, third, what is someone who has heard this truth supposed to do? And let him that heareth say, come. How does a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner display the truth that he or she has heard the command of the Spirit and the command of the bride of Christ and have truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith? You desire others to come to Christ. You tell others that outside of true repentance and saving faith in Christ, there is no salvation. You don't get annoyed and offended that verses like John 14:6, Acts 4:12, and 1 Timothy 2:5 are in the Bible. Because these are verses that undergird why you tell your lost loved one and your lost friend and your lost coworker that they need to come to Christ. Because outside of Christ, they are on the wide road leading to destruction. How many in the churches in America are on the wide road leading to destruction because they don't think they need to obey the command to come to Christ? Because they were sprinkled, even immersed as a baby. Anyone who chafes and gets annoyed at the truth that all men, regardless of their ethnicity, their social position, their religious affiliation or confession or gender, male or female, need to be called to come to Christ for the salvation that is found only in him, are simply showing that they're not saved. Oh, I believe in the Westminster Confession of Faith. You can still believe in the Westminster Confession of Faith and go to hell. Because if you haven't come to Christ, you're lost. Oh, I believe in the London Baptist Confession of Faith. You can believe in the London Baptist Confession of Faith and still go to hell if you haven't come to Christ in true repentance and faith. Oh, I've walked the aisle. I've said the prayer. You can walk an aisle. You can say a prayer. And still go to hell if you haven't come to Christ and cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Because if you have heard the command of the Lord to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, because his beloved Son is the only Savior of this world of lost sinners, this truth is not something that upsets you or offends you. You see it. for the glorious testimony of the long-suffering God towards his sinful people that it is. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. But Jesus is not finished showing you how important commanding lost sinners to come to him is. For not just the Spirit and the bride say come, not just those who have correctly heard and understood the believing gospel are to say come, but forth and let him that is athirst come. Let him that is athirst come. Someone, anyone who has found and seen how empty and pointless their lives have been and continue to be. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Friends, if possessions were the way to meaning and purpose and fulfillment, the happiest person on the face of the earth would be a hoarder. And they're some of the most miserable. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If a person is like, if you are like Solomon in Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. There's got to be something more than Super Bowl madness. There's got to be something more than a stupid ball ring that I can put on my finger. There is. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will find your soul thirst quenched. But I don't want to come to Christ. I see the emptiness and the pointlessness and the futility of life. Yet I don't want to come to Christ. Then your soul thirst will never be quenched, because only Christ can quench it. Only Christ can quench it. Face what you're seeing, what the futility and emptiness of life should be showing you, that your life is futile and empty if you do not come to Christ. For he is the only one who can save and satisfy your soul, both now and forever. Lo, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk. Without money and without price, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The problem with every dead in sin, lost sinner, is not that they do not have a will. They have wills bent and warped away from God, not towards him, and rebel against him, and reject their absolute need for Christ and their absolute need to come to Christ simply, but soberingly testifies to this truth. Why do I say this? Because what is the fifth and last imperative of this verse? The last imperative of the Bible. The last command of the Bible, the Word of God directed toward man, not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Revelation 22:20. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to know joy unspeakable and full of glory? Do you want eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, preacher. Then the Lord is commanding you to do something. Take the water of life freely. Take the water of life freely. Now, the word translated freely is an adverb. Oh, no. More grammar. You've got to be kidding. No, I'm not kidding. What is an adverb? It's a word that modifies a verb.
What verb is it modifying or related to? And whosoever will, let him take. Let him take. Take what? The water of life. But how does this adverb modifier tell you how you're commanded to take the water of life? Freely! Freely! The noun, not the adverb form in this word, is translated 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God commands all men everywhere to take the water of life as a free gift. That was amazing grace and mercy that it is and always will be. Nothing in my hands I bring. I take the free gift of eternal salvation that the Lord gives to all those willing to receive it from him. Are you willing? Are you willing? Have you drank from the free waters of eternal life paid for once and forever by the finished work of Christ on the cross, on his cross of penal substitution for a sinful people who could never have atoned and paid for their innumerable sins against God if you lived to be as old as Methuselah? And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, how many lost sinners, whether religious or rebellious, are showing that they are still lost by not taking the water of eternal life as a free gift from the living God, as all men are commanded by God to do. Oh, how many lost sinners are there in the churches in America and in this world today because they are not willing to take the water of life freely, trusting in something they have done and not Christ alone? Have you been made willing? Have you taken God's free gift of eternal life found in his beloved Son alone? Then you will know why the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Then you will know why those who hear say, come. Then you will know why coming to Christ can save and satisfy your soul. Do you know why? Let us pray. Oh Lord, the clarity of your word overwhelms us at times because you have not left us in the dark as to what you want us to do and what you want all men to do, to come unto your Son as the only Savior of the world. Lord, give this message back to your church. It's the only message this world needs until he returns. In Jesus' name, amen.